Well, the Bible gives us a principle, and that principle is that we render to the government that which belongs to the government, and that we render to Christ that which belongs to Christ. I believe we have, as Christians, a dual responsibility. And I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have in this country that I promise you most countries do not have. Now I want to talk to you about the Christian voter for just a few moments. Now don't get uptight on me. Relax. We're going to have a good time and take some things right out of it. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And we're going to begin with verse 15. Matthew 22 and verse 15. Here's the principle that God laid down for us in our relationship, and this had to do with paying tribute. They were, of course, trying to trick Christ always. But verse 15 says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men." They said, "We know that's where you're coming from. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" See, they thought they were going to have him right there. "But Jesus perceived their wickedness." You see, he was God in the flesh. He knew what they were up to. "And said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" I couldn't get away with that, but Jesus did. "Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" They say unto him, "Caesar's." Then saith he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Jesus taught us something when he answered their question. And he wanted us to be aware of it because he included it in the holy canon of Scripture. And we have it before us today, the Bible principles. And I believe this principle and others that I'm going to mention can give the Christian some perspective on voting by relating to what the Bible has to say about political activism and also about the responsibilities, and I underscore that word strongly, of believers being involved regarding government matters. Now, I understand up front that we're not going to usher in the kingdom. And I know that, so we all would agree that we're not, through the political process, going to usher in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But that does not give us a right to renege on our Christian responsibilities as citizens of the United States of America today. We have a responsibility, and I believe it ought to be carried out. So I want to mention about six, as time allows, six different principles for Christian voters. Number one, Christians are to be involved, and underscore that word, in the democratic process of voting. We are a free nation. For heaven's sake, why would we not be involved in the democratic process of voting? And that is the principle that I believe was given us here in Matthew, where he said, "Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's." I believe we ought to be registered voters, and then I believe we should vote. I was with someone recently who happened to be a relative, and this person was talking about all the bad things and about being afraid about how the election is going to turn out and what might happen here in the very near future. And so somebody said, Are you registered to vote? And her face turned red. And she said, well, no, I'm not, but I still believe. And they said to her, well, the fact that you can't vote is a vote for the other person, the liberal, amen? And she said, well, it just takes so much time to get over there and to drive there and get registered to vote and all of that kind of thing. Friend, our freedom is worth a little trip across town if you have to pay a taxi cab driver to take you there. We ought to be registered to vote. That is good, godly, Christian citizenship. And for some of you, it's too late already this year, but get in the process next year. I know, as I said, we're not going to usher in the kingdom, but we have a responsibility in a lot of the problems we're having today. And I hear all of it. I hear everybody. They say, well, the politicians are all bad. If they're not bad when they get there, they'll be bad. I want to tell you, I've met some good people in politics. Very weak amen. Some of you still don't believe it. But there are some God-fearing politicians in politics. But let me tell you something. The reason they're not more is because we haven't had more Christians run for office, and we haven't had more Christians voting for the right reason, for the right issue, for the right person. And that's one of the reasons we're in the mess that we're in, or we'll get in a worse mess if we're not careful. I believe that Christians are to be involved in the democratic process of voting. And then I believe that we ought to pray for our government leaders. I believe we ought to pray for them. The Bible says that in 1 Timothy 2, Paul said, I exhort ye therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he says, for kings, and in our vernacular that would be presidents, for kings and for all that are in authority. God says we ought to pray for them. Amen. And I have a hunch that there are a lot of Christians that don't pray for our political leaders. I really do believe that there are a lot of them who very seldom ever pray for our political leaders. Amen. We get what we pray for. Now, I've told you about a staff member I used to have named Pete Rathel. Pete was a missionary to France for years. Then he had some illness and came back, went on my staff. He was one of the best workers I've ever had. And Pete was a guy that had a little patience. My son's smiling because he was his youth director. And Pete would say, I'd say, now, Pete, pray for them. Just pray for that person. Just pray for that person. He'd say, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray God to kill him. I said, no, Pete. That is not what I'm talking about. I wouldn't pray for our political leaders like that. Sometimes you feel like it. And that would be with just about any of them. There are times they do some things and you just feel like praying that prayer. But we got to pray for them. For our benefit, God tells us that we as Christians need to pray for our leaders. And then I believe that Christians are admonished to respect and obey their government leaders. Now, there is an exception. And that exception is when they ask us to go against God's will. But other than that, I believe we ought to pray for them and respect them and honor that position. We may not agree with everything that they do, but we have no right. And I don't like it when they make fun of the presidents, no matter who they are, in tongue-in-cheek, and they take liberties, I believe, are so disrespectful for the leadership of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And yet, that is done. But I think we ought to respect and obey our government leaders. Now, when they ask us to do something that God tells us not to do, then that's a different story. The Bible says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. That's a biblical principle. We may not like them, but be subject to them. Romans 13 says, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, there's your principle. Amen. They are men. We ought to obey the government as far as we can and keep the laws. I've known some preachers who have decided to take the law in their own hands. And they wanted to print their own driver's license and print their own marriage license and not pay their taxes. And I've written some of them in jail. I believe that we ought to keep the law of the land and do what is right. And I could name some names you'd recognize right now. Pastors who had large churches who got in serious trouble when they decided that they thought they had the right to say that they were citizens of heaven and they didn't have to obey the laws of the land today. Folks, we're not in heaven yet. And the Bible principle is that we obey, but when we come to a place of a difference, we ought to obey God rather than men. And we have examples of that in the Bible where Daniel, for instance, was told not to pray. And Daniel said, I can't help it. I'm going to pray anyway. Well, he wound up in prison and wound up in some other problems, but he also wound up as a man of God in a position where he belonged to help the cause of Christ and to give us some of the greatest information about the future that any man has ever given us. That's our Daniel. We know in the New Testament they were told some things not to do, and they said, well, you do what you want to do, but we've got to do what God has told us to do, and if that means dying or going to prison, we just have to do it. Amen. You and I may be tested in the very near future as to whether we have preferences or convictions, whether we're really Christians or whether we're just playing the game. A Christian who has the Lordship of Christ and he is over you and controlling your life, if it comes to denying Christ or not denying Christ at the point of death, what are you going to do? I believe a true Christian, God will give you the grace to say, I will not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. If the day comes when they say, are you going to bow down and worship Allah? Are you going to renege in your Christian faith or die? I believe if we're true Christians, we'll say, we'll die for the cause of Christ. We're going to stand up for what is right. Then I believe Christians should elect to office. Listen very carefully to this one. I believe Christians ought to elect to office those candidates who will uphold and mirror in their personal lives. Amen? They say it doesn't matter how they live, just as long as they do the government right. I disagree because the Bible disagrees. Christians should elect to office those candidates who will uphold and mirror in their personal lives biblical righteousness. Why is that? Well, we have some principles in the Word of God, like the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Why do you think God's been so good to America in the past? If we don't get right with God and we don't have a revival in this country, we're going to get exactly what we deserve. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be what you think, and it isn't going to be a pretty picture. God may give us, instead of mercy and grace, what we deserve. But righteousness, living for God, a nation that honors God, is a nation that God is going to bless. That's enough for me. But sin is a reproach to any people. So if we want God to bless America, and we say, God bless America, sometimes I think we ought to pray, God humble America. God get America right with you. God send a revival through America, and it would be wave upon wave, from shore to shining shore, and from those that are not contiguous parts of the 48 states, and let it go all the way through them, that we might experience a revival, because righteousness exalts a nation. And I believe we ought to put people in office who mirror godliness, not somebody who's going to mirror immorality, and somebody who will stand for principles. Now, very quickly, let me mention just a few things. The candidate ought to reflect biblical righteousness. How many of you believe that? The candidate ought to reflect biblical righteousness. And what are we talking about when we're talking about that? I'm talking about these areas. First of all, the biblical family structure. I'm not going to vote for a candidate that doesn't believe in the biblical family structure. If I can help it, I'm not going to vote for that. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Listen to this. Male and female created he them. It wasn't Adam and Steve, ladies and gentlemen. It was Adam and Eve. And I am not for anybody. I cannot by law tell you who to vote for, who not to vote for. I can't use the pulpit for that. Jeremiah Wright can, and all the rest of those rascals can, but I can't do it. I'll get thrown in jail. But if you've got one good eye and good road walking sense, you can sort of figure out what I'm talking about. Amen? You can sort of figure it out. So think about it. Might stretch some of you a little to think, but think about it. The biblical family structure. I want somebody who believes what the Bible says marriage is. One man and one woman in a monogamous relationship for a lifetime, that's God's ideal. And God, two men getting married, I don't care if the land of nuts and fruits in California says that they are married, I don't think that God says they're married. Isn't it nice that some of these lesbian women have adopted little girls? Now that's handy, isn't it? That is a terrible thing. And I don't want a candidate that doesn't have a strong position on that, even if he's a dog catcher down here. I'd rather have a dog catcher that knew the difference. Amen? And then I think they ought to, in the area of local churches, they should be allowed to remain free from government interference. The separation of church and state. I ought to be able to tell you anything I want to tell you from this pulpit. And there's going to have to be some laws changed in order to do that. There used to be, years ago, always the preachers would preach an election message, and they'd get up and tell you who was right and who was wrong, call them by name, and tell you exactly where they stood, and say, this is what, based on the Bible principle, this is who you ought to vote for. Some of you still voting just for the party. Get out of that mindset. Part of that's what's gotten us in the mess we're in today. Vote for what the Bible says is right. And I believe in separation of church and state. I believe that Christians ought to be involved in government. That never was the intent of what the original founders said when they were talking about the separation of church and state. What they were talking about was exactly what they were running from and getting freedom from, and that was the fact that the state should not be able to tell the church what to do and what to preach and all of those things. Leave us alone and let us preach the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that Christians shouldn't be involved in government. We should be, and if you know anything about the history of this nation, you know that most of them were Christians, the leaders, and if they were not, they certainly were people who believed this book, and they were people who, even if they might not be exactly where they should be spiritually, they respected God and all of the issues of life and the Ten Commandments. They withheld them, upheld them in the government. Well, then there's another thing. I want somebody that believes in the sacredness of human life. Listen to me. From conception all the way down to death, the sacredness of human life. We have no right to destroy a baby in the womb. If the only thing that might be an issue with some would be the life of the mother if she would die. But I firmly believe if we'll leave that in God's hands, God will take care of it the way He wants to take care of it. His perfect plan will be carried out. And then these that are murdering, yes, murdering little babies just as they are being born and doing it for CellSim research. And I know that there are a lot of diseases out there, and we hope to God that they can be cured. But a lot of that stuff can be done with cadavers and so on and so forth. You don't have to murder little babies as they're being born, and that's exactly what they're doing. You don't have to do that, and I'm not going to vote for some idiot who believes otherwise. By the grace of God, I am not going to do it. And mercy killing is not in the Bible. The older I get, the more I believe in this conviction. I'm getting stronger every year. Don't be messing with me in a nursing home. I'll hit you with my lamp or remote control. Mercy killing. Oh, we've gone so far away from God, haven't we? The sacredness of human life, and I got to hurry. One visitor's already reminded me the Cowboys are playing this afternoon. Just like a Hoover, isn't it? Then there's another principle I think they ought to stand for, and that is the work ethic and thrift. We are headed for a welfare state if we're not careful. Marxism, the free enterprise system works, folks. It is not perfect, but it works. And we have some folks trying to take us into socialism, and they're saying, let's take from the rich and redistribute it and give it to the poor. Now, use your one eye and road walking sense here. They're trying to do that. Smile once in a while. You scare me to death when you get so serious, man. Especially you Democrats. I mean, you... Especially you independents. Okay. You independents. Can you bleep that out of the tape? We don't need a Marxist government where people work hard and hard. Listen, these entrepreneurs who work and build up a business have the right for a good income, and they provide jobs for other people who wouldn't have jobs. And to give money back to people that don't even pay taxes, that are not even involved in that, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever in the free enterprise system in the United States of America. It will kill us. Go look at places like Venezuela and other places where they've gone into that kind of government and the people are not doing better. They're starving to death in many of these countries. We don't need socialism. We need free enterprise. We need a democracy like we have, or the kind of republic that we have, in order to do what we've done by the grace of Almighty God. And people ought to work for what they make. And then they ought to be frugal and thrift, and the government and Fannie Mae and Johnny Mac or whatever his name is, all of those people, it is not right. I'm telling you, it's not right for them to walk away with $50 million and not be thrown in prison. They knew exactly what they were up to and exactly what they were doing. And then they try to blame it on somebody else. I'm telling you, somebody ought to do something about it. But people ought to work and make a living. And the work ethic and thrift is something that we need in our country. We don't need socialism and Marxism. And then accepting full and ultimate responsibility for attitudes and behaviors. Now they throw the policeman in jail, and the crook walks away. And then he can sue because he stubbed his toe while you were chasing him or something. That never has helped our country and never will. We need to accept full and ultimate responsibility for attitudes and behaviors. Romans 14, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We don't live to ourselves. Everything other people do affects us. Now, I know the problem. I've got it all down. I just want to tell you folks what's wrong with everybody. Everybody's sick. They're just sick. If you don't believe that, ask Freud. Amen. Go back and ask Sigmund Freud. Everybody's just sick. So here's a man that abuses his stepchildren, rapes his stepdaughter, and abuses his stepchildren. And they go and they say, oh, the only problem is his mother whipped him one time when he was a little boy, about 6 years old, and she laid one stripe too many on him. And because of that, he cannot help the way he is. He's just sick. Well, friend, I agree, he's sin sick, but he's not just sick. And something I mean, we've got to come back to our senses. And the only way is get back to the authority of the Word of God and accept responsibility. Do you believe in capital punishment? I certainly do. You say, well, that's not New Testament love. It is. Is God love? Is He going to allow anybody to go to hell? He's not going to cause it, but He's not going to stop it. If you choose that route, even though He's love, a person who doesn't accept Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, if you're here today without Christ, if you don't accept Him before it's too late, you'll die and go to hell. You say, but God is love. God won't send anybody to hell. He doesn't send anybody to hell. You'll send yourself. And we have volition and choice, and we make up our minds what we're going to do. And the Bible principle is that if a life is taken, then somebody's life should be taken for that life. And I know that's a very controversial issue, but I wanted to make it clear to you where I stand on that, because I believe it's a biblical principle. Capital punishment, not pacifism, is going to help our country. And then another thing is reflect a Christian lifestyle and character. Reflect a Christian lifestyle and character. God said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now listen, that's like saying, I saved you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In Exodus 20, he said that. And that you put on the new man, Paul said, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Candidates ought to reflect biblical righteousness in these areas and a Christian lifestyle and Christian character. And then very simply put, loving others regardless of rejection, race, color, economic status, or religion. I want somebody that is not prejudiced, that hates everybody else, whether they hate white people or black people, that's wrong in the sight of Almighty God. We don't need that in our society. The Bible says charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I believe that we need somebody who loves others regardless of race, color, economic status, or religion. I believe that's part of it. And then another thing, Christian Americans should endeavor in every way that they can. Christian, born-again believers, Americans should endeavor to live their lives so that God can and will bless them and bless the nation that they live in. Amen. The scripture says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Listen to him. Walk as children of the light. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Walk as children of the light. Folks, this matter of our country and this matter of freedom and this matter of voting, this matter of taking a stand and this matter of voting for the right person is very important. Very important. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God that which is God's. Never do anything that would go contrary to what God has told us to do. But do everything we can to preserve the morality, the integrity, the freedom that we have in the United States of America. And I want to tell you, a lot of it is left up to us. They don't like evangelicals very much, especially in the liberal circles. That's all right. We know what's right, and we know what we ought to do. And by God's grace, let's do it. Now, we know also that God's going to carry out His will. God has a sovereign plan. And whoever gets in office, I believe these principles still stand. And I believe, even if it's not who we think it ought to be, and we do our best, and we've done our best, if we don't do our best and get involved, we ought to be ashamed and repent and ask God to forgive us. But if we've done our best, then we have to accept it and know that God's carrying out His plan. And He will. It'll all fall into place. Iran, Iraq, Russia, Turkey, all of those things. I'm thinking about preaching a series of messages on prophecy because it's so timely coming up, if God will let me do that. But let me tell you something. Here's the issue for all of us. Are you ready to meet Christ? We can get all bent out of shape about a lot of things. But let me tell you something. Christ could come back today. He really could. There's not one thing to hold him back from calling the bride of Christ, the church, out. That's all right with me. If November the 4th, I awaken and all of a sudden I hear the trumpet sound, I go up there, I'm not going to say, wait a minute, God, I wanted to vote so badly. Oh, no. I'm going to be glad I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Now, let me ask you this. The issue is, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? There are going to be some bad things happening in this world. You say, how do you know that? The Bible tells us. There's going to be a man by the name of Antichrist. He's probably still alive or alive somewhere on planet Earth right now. Very good possibility. And we have all the pieces in place. European common market, China, Russia, all of those different things that nobody even knew much about many years ago, but the Bible said exactly what's going to happen and said the Jews are going to go back in their land. Everybody said it'll never happen. No other ethnic group has ever been so wiped out and come back. You don't hear anything about the Amorites and the Jebusites and so on and so forth, do you? But let me ask you something. Have you heard anything about a little place, a little speck on the globe called Israel? How many of you heard about Israel? Raise your hand. It's in the newspaper every day. No accident. Now let me ask you, are you ready to meet God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you living for Him? If not, you ought to be saved today. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment, and we will make our appeal. May God help us to come. Pray, whatever burden may be on your heart, pray for our country. Come this morning. Don't be ashamed. Pray and ask God to help our country. And ask God to lead you in the way you should vote. And ask God to help us to do the right thing, because righteousness exalteth a nation. If you're here without Christ, I want you to come. Maybe you need to come for baptism or to rededicate your life. God knows your heart and you know it, and you know your need. If God's leading you to join our church and to come help us fight the battle together and serve the Lord together, may God help you to come. Father, I pray for anyone that may be here today without Jesus. We know the most important thing today is that they trust Him as Savior, and I pray they would. And then, Lord, there's some perhaps here who have, out of fellowship, have not been walking with You intimately and closely as they should, and You've spoken to them about it, and they need to come. I pray they would. Help people to do what they'll be glad they did when they stand in Your presence in heaven. We'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.